Hey guys, Adam Ray for the About Last Night podcast here. And look, I know you can hear me and I can't see you, but I bet if I could, I'd be like, damn, you're clear as fuck, dog, because I've got my simple contacts in. Look, there's a million things demanding your time these days, and contact lenses shouldn't be one of them. With Simple Contacts, you can renew your prescription and reorder your contacts from anywhere in just minutes. No more fucking doctor's offices or weird people farting in waiting rooms and trying to call out who farted, and you always guess wrong, and then you embarrass yourself. All you do is take a vision test, self-guided, and it takes 5 minutes. You know what I'm saying? That saves so much time that you would be going to the doctor's office trying to guess who's farting. And the test is super fucking easy. It's designed by doctors and licensed ophthalmologists that review every test carefully and make sure your eyes look healthy and that your vision hasn't changed. They offer every brand of lenses and the prices are unbeatable. Plus, the vision test is just $20. Compare that with the annual appointment, which can be up to $200 without insurance. That's a great fucking deal. And shipping's free. And best of all, our listeners today, if you sign up, get $30 off your first Simple Contacts order. Do you wear contacts? You probably do, because people are losing their fucking vision. So sign up today going to simplecontacts.com/ALN and get $30 off your first Simple Contacts order. That's simplecontacts.com/ALN. I do want to mention this is not a replacement for your periodic full eye health exam. You still need to do those occasionally. But this is the most convenient way to renew a prescription and reorder your contacts. Simple Contacts only tests that the current prescription still helps you see 20/20, and then they renew that prescription. You still need to get your periodic health eye exam. But Simple Contacts, look, they've been rated 5 stars over 3,000 times on the App Store. You can text with a support team and always get someone to speak with and not a robot, you know, which, let's be honest, they're taking over and starting to infiltrate the way we deal with everything. Look at Alexa. That fucking... she's crazy. With summer around the corner, there's no shortage of reasons to not have contacts on hand. Beach days, vacation days, outdoor activities, dwarf weddings. Use Simple Contacts to update your prescription and stock up for the summer. Go to simplecontacts.com/ALN and get $30 off your first order today. That's simplecontacts.com/ALN. What is it? Simplecontacts.com/ALN. Hey guys, Adam Ray for the About Last Night podcast. Happy Thursday. Bonus episode time, baby. Happy Thursday, day away from Friday, and then the weekend begins. It's always good to have a bonus episode riding into the weekend like this, and today's episode is a perfect guest and a perfect episode to transition into the weekend as he transitions into being a woman. No, into being a resident of a new city, New York City. My buddy Joey McIntyre is today's guest, returning to the podcast. You know him from the McCarthys, from Return of the Mac, from New Kids on the Block, from The Heat, and stage and screen, and he does it all. And he's taking his talents to New York City, leaving us here in L.A., and so this was kind of a send-off episode. He's leaving literally, I think, in like a week, so I was very pumped that he made some time. We went out and got some drinks after this. It was just a good hang, man. He's such a good dude. And it was a great episode. Brad is not here for this one, so it was just a little Joe and Adam one-on-one time. And we talked about a lot of things, man. Life and reflecting on L.A. and what he's excited and scared for in New York and future endeavors, album, stand-up. It's a lot. A lot of laughs. A lot of topics covered. Talking New Kids Cruise. So it's a great ep. Enjoy this one. Make sure you're subscribed, of course, and following the podcast on Instagram and Twitter at ALN Podcast. I'm at Adam Ray Comedy on Instagram and Twitter. Brad is at Funny Brad on Twitter. Brad Williams Comic on Instagram. At Joey McIntyre across the board for Joe. Tweet at us. Let us know how you like the pod. Of course, hashtag ALN Podcast. BradWilliamsComedy.com for his tour dates. Brad's in Tacoma at the Tacoma Comedy Club this weekend. Get all your tickets at BradWilliamsComedy.com. I will be at Stand Up Live tomorrow night. At 10 o'clock, and then Saturday at 9:30, and Sunday at 7. So get your tickets at AdamRayComedy.com. Come see me, Phoenix. Stand up live this weekend, June 8th, 9th, and 10th. Tickets at AdamRayComedy.com. Monday is a very special episode. Sandra Bullock is making her podcast and ALN debut. So again, make sure you are subscribed to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Laughable, Stitcher, Spotify, and do not miss that. Monday, Sandra Bullock, ALN Podcast. I can't fucking wait. AboutLastNightPodcast.com for past and present episodes and your ALN merch. Sweats, hats, beanies, shirts, all at aboutlastnightpodcast.com. And I think that's it. So now that we've got the tour dates, Twitter handles, and merch info out of the way, sit back, relax, and enjoy a bonus episode of the About Last Night podcast with my buddy, Joey McIntyre.
Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. Got a midget and a Jew, so why don't you sit down and listen to our dope podcast during lunch, dinner, or breakfast. It's about last night.
Do you still
brush my teeth? I do. At least twice a week.
Yeah. No, you're talking about grunge.
Wouldn't
you
that be gross?
I feel like you said you weren't old enough to really appreciate it.
Look.
Which that's how I feel about the Celtics in the 80s. I wish I was a little bit older. But like, it's just funny. I want to make a joke about why, like, you weren't old enough to, you know.
I know what.
Understand.
Yeah. Here's the thing. You have to have
a lot of haters.
Don't you agree that you have to have somebody in your family or your circle of friends to like introduce you to that?
Hip you to it? Yeah.
When you find it, you're as a kid, especially at 10 and 11, you're so like, oh, I like
anything
that.
Or grunge.
You don't walk around rocking the shit you love super hard yet. I mean, maybe with a lunchbox, but that's like, it's usually something universal. If you're rocking a fucking Gummy Bears lunchbox, everyone loves Gummy Bears. Risk there.
Right. Okay. It's already become a massive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm saying like, if you're like, when I discovered Smashing
you're
Pumpkins,
going lunchbox.
I wasn't fucking showing up with this a Tonight t-shirt.
Yeah.
You know.
Right.
Tonight. Tonight is you guys.
No, we're tonight.
You're tonight. They're tonight.
Tonight is... Who is?
Smashing Pumpkins.
Oh, yeah.
Tonight.
Which sounds nothing like Phil Collins or Genesis.
Who, by the way, is touring again.
Wow.
How exciting is that?
Taylor is at the Bowl this week, this next couple of days. That's always a thing.
Go?
Do we go? Adam, I only have so much time left in LA, and I can't just spend a night with you. I'm sorry. No, that's not going to happen. It's very sweet.
Yeah, you have your days.
Your perspective is just way, just your own, and it's not mine. And
I will say this, and I want to pay you a big compliment.
Whoa.
I went to the Bottle Rock Music
Festival. Give me the compliment first, and then say it.
You guys are one of the best live shows I've seen in the last 10 years.
New
Kids on the Block.
We are. But we should be. We've been doing it for a long time, but there's a certain brand of entertainment that you just don't see. And people think they're going to see like amazing shows. And like when you see a legend, it's great. Or when you see people and it's fun, but like so many people just get up there and play their music. Yeah. And we do that and so much more. And I say that with hat in hand.
Of course.
With real
hat
humility.
In hand, with jazz hand in hand.
Exactly. One, exactly.
I just saw Bruno Mars. I'd never seen him before.
But with the exception...
You guys are fucking on par with them, man.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's... Well, his voice is sick. No, but But he came from that, you know, sing for your supper. You know, he was doing Elvis impersonations, right? Him and his family back in Hawaii, was it? And so he... He came from that like old school, you know, working hard up there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's, you know, I'm so glad that he's not only just, you know, making records, but like carrying that torch.
But the element of showmanship that came along with every song and the like the stuff with his band, like his whole brass section. First of all, they were all rocking different NBA jerseys and shorts, retro.
Yeah.
And obviously it's hot as fuck out there, but it was just a cool vibe. And then there's so much extra like dancing and moving, like again, like with what you guys do. You add
it's
so much.
So great though. It's
like
much
a great
fun.
Actor. Like Steve Carell during The Office does so much that's not on the page, right?
Yeah.
You guys do that on stage where you're adding so much that's not like that can't be taught.
I think there's a lot of people that have choreography and that kind of there's a you know the set designs and the whole thing, but like you know there's something about that connection and like that's what. you know, Bruno does. You know what I
People
mean?
People aren't going for pyrotechnics.
No.
They can buy a bottle of sparklers and set them off in their backyard and, you know. Have you got, you guys have done that festival thing, right? Like at some juncture, that outdoor.
You know, we were involved in actually, you know, it for a few years, took a year off, but it was called the Mixtape Festival in Hershey, Pennsylvania.
Nice.
And so there was a bunch of, it was, that was like the closest thing we've done to a festival. But we always try to make our tours that vibe, you know, that because the package is so important. You know, we're you know, we've been doing our own tours and headlining, but to have, you know, us and Boyz II Men and 98 Degrees, or us and Boyz II Men and Paul Abdul, you know, we did the kind of double bill thing with Backstreet Boys, but yeah, it's a good time, man.
Is there being discussed, like, how do you go up from Paul of you and Boyz II Men?
I know. Well, it's top secret, and I can't give you...
It's already been discussed, huh?
Maybe. Fuck. I mean, because after... Yeah, you always think of what... That's the question. How do you top this? How do you make it different? Can you top it? Are we... You know, we have
a certain
genre.
Those are exciting conversations to be like, to sit back and be like, fuck, we crushed it last year.
How do you... Yeah.
And then sometimes you sit back and you go, can we? You know, Jordan hit that last shot against the Jazz, and he was like, dude, I mean, number six
done
against Karl Malone, who's a fucking bigot and a big power forward, you know?
Karl Malone's a bigot.
I mean, a little bit. He's a little bit. I think he's calmed down in his old age, but there are some times where he had some... He was also the first one to be like, Magic Johnson's got AIDS. Fuck that. You know?
Oh, yeah. He was always saying something stupid. Yeah, maybe he was just stupid.
Country bumpkin, dude.
Yeah.
And he also said it, too. He was like, man, you see me like sitting out on the... He's like, I didn't ask for the nickname, the mailman. Like, shit like that. Mm. We were like... You didn't ask for one of the greatest nicknames of all time.
I know.
And you're a little perturbed about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. You've got...
Yeah, something up his ass.
Yeah. But...
And not a nice thing. You know what I mean? Because that's not a nice thing for some people. So I don't want to say it's bad for everybody. No. But
he's got the thing that makes you go...
Something honorary up... Something uncomfortable up his ass.
Something he didn't ask for.
Things... This is how we evolve.
Yeah.
You know? You can't say... That guy's got something up his ass, huh?
No,
you gotta have to say something uncomfortable up his ass.
Yeah. Because
you'd be offending a whole group of people.
There's also, aside from that group of people that on the reg is participating in up the ass antics.
Right.
There's a group out there that does just actually participate in the something, you know?
Where they're, something.
Come on, man. There's people with fetishes of all shapes and sizes.
Right.
There's a group that meets right now at the basement of a Cheesecake Factory. That is, they're all sitting around and they go, all right, did everybody bring something? And they shut the lights off and then fucking.
Where's the games, do you know the exact location? Because I want to.
I mean, you would think I do with the specificity
of this
improv.
You got the inside track on that one? Wow.
Look, I'm not saying where it is, Fairfax and Third, but there
is. You're throwing people off because there's not one there.
I was doing Neil and
you're keeping it to yourself.
That was great that you came to that show.
That was great. That was great.
Do you
know, I've been sort of like, you know, been talking to you about, like, I'd love to do 5 minutes because I love what you guys, what you guys do.
It's a matter of time.
And I feel like the Sunset Strip is like the last bastion of rock and roll. Like, you guys aren't up there playing instruments, but it's live and you got, you know, legends and stars, and it's the most rock star thing going on right now. And like, I remember how Sunset Boulevard used to be that way, and it's not anymore. And the only thing left are the, you know, the comedy places. You know what I mean? And so, like, to see that. So, anyways, I to get up there and do 5 minutes would be. But it's definitely, I'm not crazy about the term bucket list, but like that would be.
Yeah, because because that's a sooner than later. That,
but that's
a,
you know, I'm shooting for, I'm swinging for the fences, but like that kind of a night with Neilan, who's going to interview you afterwards.
By the way, I'd get you on that show in a heartbeat. And maybe that's the move, dude.
I think, well, that's kind of what I'm getting at.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Because that first guy up there was good, but new.
Yeah.
And I feel like I could tell a few stories.
Fuck yeah.
What's the deal with having, what's the rule about writing jokes or having people write for you? There's no rule.
Dude, the rule is be funny.
Yeah,
be
funny.
The rule is don't get on that stage.
Because I got a couple of stories. I realized that I don't have to go up there and go knock, knock, who's there? You know what I mean? You tell a story and yada, yada. But I don't know. I just think it'd be fun.
Yeah, dude. I think that's the move, because we've toyed with this before and about you doing even a spot on like the show I do once a month at the Comedy Store.
Yeah.
But I think that's the move. Like an intimate venue like the Factory.
Yeah.
That incorporates where you are, where it is only, again, 5 minutes you could do, and then...
And then,
because people would want to see more of you, and then you get to be funny you with Nealon, which
right.
is great.
And Nealon will, you know, you got a legend like, oh, you know, yeah. cleaning up the mess if you blow it.
You would play off him so well. Yeah. I think that's the move.
Okay.
Well, that could happen anytime.
Really?
Yeah.
Kevin loves me?
In a heartbeat.
Kevin loves Joey.
Also, his wife is younger. She's sitcom. Probably a giant fan, so
really?
She'd freak out.
All right. Yeah. All right. I like where this is going.
Nealon's also got his pulse on the... On what's hip? I'm sure he knows who you are.
Yeah, with the whole.
Yeah,
yeah, sure.
Is there a piece of you right now that has one foot already on a New York
corner?
Street?
Yeah, yeah.
Because you're wearing
a little bit. You know, I got
You're wearing the Miss Liberty in your pocket.
Yeah,
right
I got
now.
Rip and Dip t-shirt.
That's a dope shirt, dude. Is that the company?
Rip and Dip is called is the name of the company.
Dude,
yeah.
A free shout out and plug right now. RipandDip.com.
Well, they don't really need it. It's not, well, it's
well,
then, on.
Well, I need it, which
right.
is why I'm saying it.
Exactly. Yeah. it's on Fairfax.
Dope.
You know that with all the Supreme and the Bape and all those hot stores that people wait in line.
Yeah. It's I never really, understand that. I'm always like, are you waiting for the new Sega Genesis or like a turkey sandwich?
Exactly. So, you know, but you have to be 10 years old to get it, okay? Because my son is all about it.
Is he?
Yeah. That's but awesome. These Rip and Dip is reasonably priced. You go there in this Supreme store, they do a drop, they call it. And so they do collaborations with different artists.
Gotcha.
And people wait in line to get the stuff, and then they resell it immediately. You can't get it online, so you resell it to the store down the block, and it's worth, like, they'll have a... pair of sweatshirt shorts, like
I love that.
But like camo, like simple that you could get at Target, and they're like $450. It's crazy, but hey, that's branding. And
but guess what? I've never seen a shirt like that in my 35 years of life. You know how many shirts or any sort of piece of wardrobe?
But Rip and Dip is reasonably priced. Like this is a $30 t-shirt, which by today's standards is not ridiculous.
No,
got
$400 for a pair of jeans. I don't know what my mom would do if she knew.
Yeah.
I remember when I came home and I convinced my grandpa, his thing was to always buy me basketball shoes, right?
Mm.
And but it was always like, you know, a $50 to $70 pair of shoes, which is still, in the 90s, was like a good pair, was a good basketball shoe.
Sure.
But it wasn't like, dude, Jordans were still at 100.
Right.
And that was triple digit for a basketball shoe. It was like,
right.
Oh, this guy has two packs of bubble gum and they're both unopened. Like at school, like this kid's got, he just has money for extra.
Right.
And so I remember one day I went to visit my grandparents in Ada, Oklahoma. My mom was there and my grandpa was like, let's go get your basketball shoes for this next season, right? And this is the peak of Quick Fat when I was, you know, that's how I describe.
Peak of what?
Quick Fat. That's how I describe my sixth grade year of basketball where I was.
You were fat but quick.
Yeah.
I had a friend who was fat and quick too.
Dude,
Quick Fat.
I was unbelievable. Hakeem Olajuwon. And Larry Bird were my favorite players. So
good,
I was a fat kid with a post game and a three.
Wow.
Get out of here. Dude, in the sixth grade, I was
in
like,
sixth grade?
Oh, I'm going pro, dude. I'm dominating.
Wow.
Dominating. And I'm fast and I'm fat. So you can't.
Your mom broke your heart and said there's no Jews in the NBA.
Hilarious. Yeah.
Yes.
True. Yes.
Yes.
That and then also, you know, stop not growing past 6'1".
Yeah.
And just, you know, probably. Ball handling. There's a lot of reasons.
Yeah,
you know, drive.
Right.
Girls come into play. wanting to practice all the time. So, I see these Jordans. I go, Grandpa, how about these? They're $130. This is like 1990.
Jeez Louise.
1997. $130. Wow. And he bought them. He goes, you know your grandma's and your
That's
mom are going to kill me.
Crazy.
Yeah. And I go, I know, but I really want them. He goes,
wow.
Are they the best shoe? I go, I mean, I feel like they are. And, and he's asking me all these questions like, you're going to be better with these? And
yeah,
like,
yeah.
There's no doubt. There's no doubt about it, Grandpa. These are Michael Jordan 130. You know, you pay for what you get.
Yeah.
And then I wish I don't know if I was the slide to be like, Grandpa, it, you know, not to put it on you, but what kind of a season do you want me to have?
Right. And he did. He dropped it.
And he buckled down. And, God bless him, man. Rest in peace. But he actually passed away actually right after the credit card got declined. So, no.
Yeah.
He saw how much it was.
Is that when you were, you know, you missed the final three-pointer at the end of the game? Yeah.
It wasn't worth it. But you... Yeah, so I don't know. You pay for what you
branding,
get.
Branding, yeah.
Okay, so one foot in New York. Yeah, you do.
A little bit, yeah. I mean, I got a couple more weeks, man, and it's trippy. I feel like the sands of the hourglass are like just really picking up steam, you know what I mean? But, you know, it's been a nice full year in L.A., and I'm ready. I'm excited, so.
Yeah, it's also like you're not going to Des Moines.
Right. And I'm very privileged.
At the end of the day.
I live a very privileged life. So no matter what the freaking worries are.
You created your
privilege. I don't know about
life.
Earned it, but I do get up and show up and, you know.
Yeah.
I'm a nice enough guy. So
you deliver
I'll
on
take
all
it.
Aspects of your life from my perspective.
Oh, there you go.
What
cruises
more can you do?
For you? Cruises? What is that for you? Cruises?
I don't know, man.
You're gonna pick up my lease.
Support.
You're gonna do the. You're gonna take my car for the last four months.
Yes.
Which is funny, by the way.
Did somebody try
my license plate? I'll tell you now because I don't care. Not that anybody's gonna track me down, anyways.
Well, track me down.
Maybe my license plate is Boston 5. So you might get, get some mean stares. It's been pretty good. Every once in a while, I make a wrong turn or I do something, you know, and I know the driver's probably like, Boston drivers.
Oh, yeah. Is there a little tiff between L.A. and Boston?
Well, you know, everybody. I mean, the L.A. drivers are crazy. I mean,
crazier?
You know what? Nuts. Because they'll let you go. And at a red light, say you're at a red light and you're taking a left. In Boston, as soon as it turns green, you get that quick, that car in the front in the pole position gets the quick left.
Whoa.
Yeah.
With no arrow. We're talking solid circle.
Solid circle, green, boom, you go.
And it's understood.
It's all good.
You back up and you just roll on your window, you go, no ma. And everyone goes, no ma. And
no. Just... no. But we that's how we roll. I did it recently because you really can because you're pulling out first. You know, you can really get, you know, the momentum and get out before the lane, opposite lane comes at you. But in L.A., you do that and it's like...
Oh, the other people are coming just as hard.
The death ray. The death ray. You do anything in L.A., they're just waiting to pounce on you because we're stuck in our cars. We have no connection with people, so we act like fucking freaks.
It's like my joke, man. People are fucking making up moves.
Yeah.
And trying to find another shortcut.
Exactly.
And it's like
off
left and
highway.
Right at the same time.
Yep. Yeah.
Cut across four lanes with no blinker.
Exactly.
I mean, I've seen some moves that sometimes it's almost like, again, being like, not to go back to sports, but like, let's say you're on the court or on the field with just one of the greats and you see them do a move. I'm sure when Jordan went right to left.
Right.
You see that highlight. All these players are watching being like, holy shit. They probably just stopped and was like, I just watched one of the greatest plays ever.
Yeah.
I feel like that sometimes in traffic. When I see someone pull out real quick and take a left and then
that
flip
was
a U-turn,
you're
I'm
beeping.
Like.
You're beeping nicely. Like, hey.
But sometimes I'm frozen. I'm just like, yeah, oh yeah, beeping nicely. Yeah, hey, yeah. Dude.
No.
Kudos.
Yeah.
Bold move.
Yeah.
But you did it.
Yeah.
But not, I'm not saying I encourage that or, you know, want that.
And you don't do that. And you won't do that in my car because...
Fuck no, dude.
Yeah.
I'm trying to keep that
record
clean.
Well, I'm going to keep it here. It's really going to be my car if I need something. Yeah. But, you know, because I can't have two cars in New York. Never mind one.
You won't be driving in New York, will you?
No. No. Oh, well, we'll have a car there because we got to get out of town. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When the shit hits the fan or something like that or, you know.
But you're going to...
Bing. Did they like that?
Yo, by the way...
The listeners like that? They're like, oh, he got a text. That must be... my interest is peaked.
You want to hear the text that I got so far?
Yeah.
I got my mom. Netflix is buying Lock and Key and hiring a whole new cast for a new director. It's a horror comedy. You would be so right for this. It has been seen on Hulu.
That's the
and
one.
And then that was this morning at 10:15 a.m. And then at 3:40 was, what are you doing June 3rd with 9 exclamation points? I'm sorry, question marks.
Really?
Yeah.
She got my interest. There we go.
Text back, shit, why, what up?
Yeah, why, what up?
Why, what up? New month, who dis? and then Brad texted... Oh, somebody texted, home for the wedding this weekend. And then Brad, sounds good, bud. You should both come over soon for booze, cornhole, and NBA finals. Oh, yeah, wow. Brad's got a house now, so he's trying to have people over a lot.
Ooh.
You know what that was like, right? Getting your first house.
Mazel.
Were you hosting a lot?
No. I mean, I have, well, I mean,
I feel
depends on what
I've been
house.
To your house once.
Well.
And that's not true, like five times.
You know, I was, I had my first house when I was very young. So there was, yeah, we had some parties for sure. But,
okay, all right.
But as a married man, you know, we, you know, my wife and I, we
well,
just,
married. That's what I'm saying, as a married.
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah. It's a little bit, you'd think so. But we, as soon
so
as we moved into this last house, we just started having babies right when we had the
gotcha.
The house.
Yeah.
So it was like, you know, you can only do so much. You'd like to have the, come on in, yes, let me fill your drink. Sure.
Fuck. Yeah.
Have, you know, a bite of, you know, this or that. And it's
the
not,
watermelon
doesn't, yeah,
the cottage
I mean,
cheese, you can put them on top of each other right. or not. It's your night. It's my house, but it's your night.
Exactly. Not a lot of that. I wish in you know, retrospect that it would a couple more soirees as opposed to a lot of pool parties, a lot of kids' parties, a lot of birthday parties.
Also fun.
They're fun. They are fun.
Do you ever kick back and have a beverage at a kid's party, or do you feel like if it was my
well,
house?
Well, I'm not really a beer drinker. I mean, there's that whole thing of like, you can drink a beer at a kid's party, but
what about like a 40 in a brown bag? Or just
you know.
Like, I don't know, a glass of wine? Can you have something? Or do you just feel like...
Yeah, no, there's some wine, there's some drinks.
Like if I'm at a kid's pool party, and I don't get invited to many,
yeah,
I got to know the kids, first of all. That's
right.
my on my checklist.
Okay.
And then it's like, if I'm going to have like a glass of wine, or I'm not taking a hit of a joint, but like if I'm there, like with my nieces, when I rented this like water bouncy
time.
House, and there was the hot tub at my folks' place,
yeah,
I'm not getting shit-faced. But also, I'm not going to not have a couple.
You
because
have a, yeah.
I'm just as good of a lifeguard two tequilas deep as
you're
I
loose.
Am.
You got to get loose.
Dude.
Because if you're not loose, you're all stiff. If someone's drowning,
oh,
you know, boom.
I also,
your mom's calling, by the way. She wants to tell you right off the bat. Let's see.
Mom, I'm doing a podcast with my buddy Joey McIntyre right now. So can I call you back?
Tell him hi.
Hi.
He's here.
You said buddy. I sang at her daughter's wedding. You said buddy like you have
yeah.
just another buddy of yours.
He said you said buddy like you just have another buddy.
No, you said that.
Oh, yeah.
She was very nice.
Mom, you know Joe. He's like family.
Of course. He sang at your sister's wedding.
She doesn't remember her name.
Boy,
what's her name? She's saying.
What a good boy.
What's going on June 3rd, Mom? We want to know.
Well, I wanted to get Adam a birthday present, and I thought I'd send him the game two.
Of the finals?
Yeah.
Oh,
that's amazing.
What?
Yeah, but you better get back to your podcast.
Whoa.
Oh.
Look at that. San Francisco,
yeah,
here I come.
Mom, one ticket or two?
Two.
Joe, you want to go?
Wow.
Mom, let's talk. Maybe game three.
Game three. Well, that would be in Cleveland.
All right. They're going back to Golden State. Mom, I'll call you when I get off. That's an amazing offer.
What a mom. That is
yeah.
a mom right there.
Whoa.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Love you.
I love you. Bye,
bye.
Mom.
Bye.
Wow, dude. You got something on June 3rd?
Is June 3rd Sunday? Yeah, it is.
Is it? I don't know.
I'm going to Arizona this weekend.
For a hang?
Nah, visiting the girlfriend's fam.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
First time?
No.
No.
Yeah,
okay. Okay.
They're all cool. Going
oh,
to the
they
lake,
must have been...
going to a Diamondbacks game.
Ooh.
Shit.
That's awesome.
Well, we'll figure that out.
Yeah.
So you're going.
I'm out of here.
What is the one thing, and you've probably thought about it or not thought about it?
Yeah, I haven't done my podcast in a while, actually, so maybe I'll steal this one, too. But
fuck yeah, you should.
Yeah.
And
so
you
tell
should,
me.
And don't not pick it back up when you get to New York.
Oh, I will. I'll pick it back up. I just was like...
I'm so you know. Curious about a... Because, you know, a move at any juncture in life is just so...
it's a lot.
Yeah, it's
revealing.
A lot. For sure.
It's revealing.
And it's almost like it is starting a new chapter. It's not like you become a different person. You go into a place you've been to before, you're familiar with. You have surroundings that you're accustomed to. You have all the things you still need. You have, you know, it's not like you're...
Toilet paper.
Yeah, it's not,
yeah.
Like, it's not like you're...
There's a toilet
you've been on a
going.
Motorcycle
yeah.
forever, and now you're like, well, now I'm going to try a hot air balloon, you know?
Right, yeah.
But you know, and especially like, and professionally, like all the things at your disposal that you're still
yeah.
going to stay active in.
Close.
But there's got to be some part of it that's like, fucking what? Right? Mm. Like the what, not the
no,
what
I,
if.
I'm just,
the
one thing I'm concerned about is like, I know my youngest son is going to be cursing me out when it's, you know, 25 degrees and we're walking to school. He can be a very black and white kid. So it's like, this is bullshit. You know what I mean? I know that's going to happen. I don't mean to blow the mic out there, but, no. So that's the biggest thing I'm afraid of, the cabin fever, having three kids and like being, you know, I can't go outside and do some jumping jacks or, you know, cartwheels. Like, you can't do that in Manhattan. I mean, you have to go down an elevator and then outside, and then, you know, it's not just in the backyard. So it's a little different, but, you know, there's, you know, pros and cons to everything. I'm just ready to mix it up. I feel like I've done it here. I've done it in my own way.
Give me a top five. All right. Yeah. Top five. And these don't have to be the best of the best. But there has come a time during this whole process, whether you're packing or you're driving by a street.
Yeah.
And not that you get super nostalgic, or
moments?
Think like, that's the last time I'm going to see Pink's.
Yeah.
Because it's not.
No, I try to do, I'm taking runs now. Like, I'm going for jogs and runs, and so it's...
Yeah, I was going to say, man, you're starting to look a little too svelte.
Oh, okay. You
know, start
that's
to
good.
Like, yeah, that's get good. Outside.
That's good
like,
news.
Going on jogs.
But yeah. Wow. So what's the question? Top five?
Just
spots?
At what point in this whole process have you stepped back and been like, fuck, L.A., because you just said I did it. So what are the...
Not in a Hollywood sense necessarily. I mean, it's not like I had, you know, three number one movies and this, that, and the other thing. But I just feel like I've creatively done everything that I wanted to do. Wow. And I guess that comes from partly on one side, I'm lucky enough that I'm, you know, I've been privileged to, you know, have success in my career, so I'm not, you know, having to take gigs. But sometimes that can sort of, it's a catch 22 because sometimes you just got to be hungry and available for everything for today. So there's a balance there. But anyways.
Top five.
Well, top five, like.
In your time here.
Just places.
Give me just places or moments where you just, that are going to be like. Memories that you don't
well,
soon
the cliche
forget.
Ones, you know, like, you know, I was, you
right,
know, having a billboard of like when I did the McCarthy's, having a billboard on Sunset Boulevard. I mean, that's cool. But I mean, you know,
how about family, just, career, break them down.
Yeah. I mean, family, all my kids were born in Cedar Sinai, which was like right across the street from where I basically first met my wife. There used to be a Jerry's Deli there, right in Beverly Hills, across the street from Beverly Hills. Yeah, and there was a place called Guy's right next door.
Yes,
so Guy's was
what a hot spot
where we used to hang out. And I just met her, so she was nice enough to come out, and you know, you're new in town, so you hang out with, you know, my friends. And there were a couple of nights there where, you know, I mean, it took me a long time to make a move. She thought I was gay for a while because she was like, all right, I got to move on because this dude's not making a move. And which was only about a month, but that, you know, that's a long time. And, you know, if you're 24, I guess, you know, my wife's age at the time. So anyways, but to be, and then right next store, you have three kids and this, you know, those kind of things. Yeah, those
thoughts are closely connected.
But
what about Jerry's? Any special Jerry's Deli memories?
Well, then we had, you know, I remember like after Guy's getting out, and she came over, and her and a friend got like an order of French fries, and she was like, "Come on over to, we're going over to so and so's house afterwards. Come on." And I just said no, you know, which sort of looked like a power. Exactly. What?
What are you doing?
Yeah, exactly. But I just, for some reason, maybe I was in the zone, or I was just like taking care of myself, and I was like, no.
Yeah.
I know, I don't want to, you know, stretch this out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So stuff like that. But things I'll miss, one of the things is going to be, you know, sports, right?
Yeah.
Because all the games are on early here, bro.
Whoa, what a great.
That's tough. So the 5:30 games are 8:30 in New York. Those are late nights, especially for the kids here. The whole family can watch. You know, the Sundays are great because the early games on at 10. It's unbelievable.
Kids
gotta
wake
it's the
up and
best.
Get the highlights now,
and I'm gonna
You're
miss
living
that
highlight life.
Yeah, it's exactly so.
You can pick
that.
And choose.
Yeah,
and that, and again on the flip side, that'll make it more special. Because did you watch every game?
No, but if we watch a game, it'll be even more special.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, right, because, you know, your pick could be like, oh, shit, tonight we're staying up till 11:30.
Yeah.
You know, not to watch the game, to watch, yeah, you know, Frozen. It's on TNT.
I don't go to a lot of comedy shows on Sunset, but I'll miss that. There's probably that scene in New York, but there's something about Sunset Boulevard, like I said earlier, that the time zone as far as sports on earlier, and then I'll miss Rao's. They have a Rao's restaurant out here, which is
really the one that you took me to one time over on
did we? Yeah,
on
Seward.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow, I couldn't remember the name of it. I was trying to go to it.
And then the weather, of course, and just the you know, I trained for a couple of marathons here, so I ran a lot around here. You know what I mean? So it's nice. And then you just you look back on the different projects you've done, whether shows, musicals, TV, you know. So I've had a lovely time here. It's been good to me, and spiritually, it's been very good. I think this town, I think there's a huge spiritual side to this town. I mean, a lot of people come here, you know. I just think there's a certain awareness and health consciousness in LA.
Yeah.
And you know, we kid about it and everyone's more laid back and hey man, and that can be frustrating for East Coasters or people that want to move faster, but
guess what, they juice too.
Yeah, exactly.
They're just like putting it in their bags. They're not like walking around holding it.
Yeah.
Walking into the coffee shop with a juice already.
Right.
They're like throwing it away before they're like, one beverage at a time, bro.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah. Right. It's a little bit edgier, a little bit more rules probably back east. But yeah, so that's the kind of stuff I'll miss, I guess.
Yeah, think about those like runs in Central Park or just
I do. Exactly. And the seasons and all that stuff. So it's good. It's like I said, I mean, it's nice problems to have.
Did your run at Hotel Cafe was unbelievable.
Oh, it was fun, man.
Fuck.
It was so much fun.
Does that feel like a blur already?
You know how it is. You must feel that way. I mean, you do so many gigs. It's like, man. And then you stop and you probably have thoughts of like, when the fuck was that? And you're like, that was there and then. Yeah. But yeah, it was lovely. I mean, you know, we only did it 6 times, but it was spread out over like a couple of months. It was every other Wednesday, but
great band.
That hurts because I feel like that band really, we really started connecting.
Oh yeah.
And there is something about LA musicians because a lot of them have spent time in New York and they come out here and it's just a little easier. So they have the edge. They know what the edge is. They know what the soul and the grit is, but they're here and it's a little bit more chill.
Right.
And so you have an ease about it. You got all the funk and soul you want, but there's a laid back pocket to it.
Right.
And maybe that's in New York too, but I haven't been there in a while. So I'm interested to see because I'd like to do the same thing somewhere in New York and just stay busy and you know, have a band and just do what I love to do, you know.
Yeah, they really, I mean, it's bonkers to see musicians at that high of a level playing so effortlessly. You know what I'm saying? And just you brought them together from all.
Well, it was really Stuart Cole was the trumpet player who kind of wrangled everybody. Aside from my buddy Gabe Lopez, who was on the keys. Right.
Yeah, and they could play anything, dude.
He was great.
I mean, I'm sure
they were all great. Yeah,
you know, most of the people listening to this, I'm sure some of you got to go to these shows and see. I mean, there are people posting so many videos. I mean, your fans are bonkers, and but they were just so, and it was such a cool display of like all your talents too, because it was like you're talking in between like you always do at your even the big arena stadium shows, and so there's always a comedic element, and just like the flow of the show, it wasn't like loosey goosey. There was like you had a game plan with everything, so it's still people get accustomed to it. With you like expecting like a show, right? And that's what you're advertising, but it was so different, and that space is so conducive. But you were such a big sound for such a tiny space.
It was cool. Yeah, it was a little too big actually, because at first normally it's like an acoustic place, but we had like two horns, you know, a full, you know.
No, it was the right.
We were busting out at the seams a little bit, but I love that it was just a good hang. Like, it was like, I'm up there doing my thing, but the band was so good that it was like, oh man, this is a hang. And I could tell that people were just hanging. Like, my friends wanted to come. I knew it was good when my friends wanted to come, like, a couple of times.
Oh, really?
You know what I mean? Just to see it again, yeah, because it's just a good time.
Yeah.
You know, it's more than just me and, like, what I do. It's, like, just a good time.
Is it fun singing songs? Like, just, I mean, there's so many great songs. And I always think, too, like, people, like, professional musicians like yourself that that do so much original stuff, I'm like, you guys must get even a bigger kick out of, like, fuck, man, when I sing All Night Long at karaoke, I feel like I'm Lionel Richie, and yeah, I love it. I love that song a lot.
Yeah.
Same goes for Dream It's Over, you know?
Nice.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Love that one.
That's a classic.
But for someone who's just living and breathing it and has for so long, you must to cover a song, and when you're crushing it like that, I mean, you were doing everything from Bruno Mars to fucking Sinatra to, I mean, I think I heard some George Raffi in there. Yeah, there was some Down by the Bay.
George Michael. Yeah. I wanted to give a whack at a few George Michaels, so that was cool too.
And crushed it, dude.
But yeah, I mean,
did you
I'm
get a
just
bigger
happy
kick out of it?
Well, I'm just glad that people like it. I mean, because you pick up, you know, someone like George Michael, who you don't really see people singing George Michael a lot.
Yeah.
I don't think. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm probably wrong. But I mean, you know, it's, you really have to just, like, not have many expectations and go, this is, I love this guy's music. I enjoy seeing it, and hopefully I won't fuck it up. And so when people say, like, you know, we did Father Figure, and then everybody was like, Father Figure was sublime. You know what I mean? I'm like, fucking great. That's awesome. Yeah. Awesome. I mean, I just, you know, tried to do my best. And again, when you know you have a great band, then you're way ahead of the game. But
and you were fortunate to have a lot of close friends step up and come in when you saw
ticket
sales were low.
Yeah,
and you were like, how do we really get this thing up a notch?
Adam, you showed up. Thank you. Yeah. I needed to put it over the top.
God, not at all. That was more of a treat for me. That I'd gone to so many shows there through my time at USC. You know, I've been out since 2001.
Yeah.
Which, again, is crazy. Like, you thinking about how long you've been out here and now moving. Like, I've been out here now 17 years.
I know. So it's been 16 for me. So, yeah, that's crazy.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
And it just feels like, it feels like
so
just
like
yesterday.
So, like, the fall of 2001 or, like, the summer of 2001?
So I graduated high school in June on, like, the 18th and moved to L.A. on, like, August 16th.
Yeah.
And everyone else was on, I was on a semester system. Everybody else was on quarters. So they started school like end of September. So they had all summer. I was like, I got a month and a half, and then I got to get my grandparents' car from Oklahoma and drive it over. Nice. I'm going to move in early with the Jews so I can avoid some of the chaos that move-in day, you know,
good
presents.
Good call.
But it feels like just yesterday that I, you know, blacked out for the first and only time and got carried down the fraternity row in a Batman costume.
Wow.
Where I was woken up by one of the football players and said, Ray, you got to hear this. You know, and the entire row is out there on a Thursday night party fucking applauding standing O because Batman's being carried down the row.
Oh,
I'd gone to like
God.
A Heroes themed formal with another sorority, right? Our fraternity and the sorority, they team up and they go, let's all get fucked up and go to this club and there's a theme and we'll be, it's Heroes. So like we're nurses and like, you can be like a doctor and like some people can, you can even be like, it's saving lives is the theme. It's Heroes saving lives. So like saving lives. So you could be like a CPR guy and you're like doctor. Yeah. No, that's a different thing. And so I was Batman because I bought that Batman suit for an episode of Blind Date that I went on.
Nice.
Wow. I went on it twice.
Wow.
My junior year of college, and I wore wigs both times.
No.
And the second time, they made me take the wig off because I pulled up and I. Dude, they send a limo for you, right? I saw this, and at one point, my buddy was like,
dude, is it on YouTube?
Yeah, I'll pull it off. Oh,
that's fantastic.
My buddy, it was Roger Lodge, man. And I saw this guy in public once. I was at the comic store, and I was like, dude, I was the fucking. He's like, you were the fucking wig guy because I did it twice.
Oh. Whatever.
No one went on the show with a wig pretending to be somebody.
That's brilliant.
And so I had this wig, and I told it was like a Gilligan's Island hat with long stoner hair flowing through.
Oh,
and the girl
God.
Got so fucked up. She was from Chico, and we drank Manischewitz wine in the park. I gave her a Hebrew
Holy
lesson.
Cow.
That was like one of the games. And finally, I go to the producer. I go, hey, man, this actually is my hair. I'm wearing a wig. He goes, that's fucking brilliant. He goes, take it off at one point and reveal her. She'll freak out. That's great TV. I'm like, hell yeah, man. The drinks are still free, right? He's like, yeah. You know, because you guys aren't paying me shit, but I'm doing this for fun. I'm in college, whatever. So they gave her scissors. So I take my wig off in the car. Oh, no, she tried to cut my hair.
Mm.
And then I took the wig off and she freaked out.
obviously, you know, the wig was not super attractive. So, yeah. you know, you look better by taking it off. So
yeah.
then she's trying to make out with me all drunk. Wow. And then we go to this one bar to have like a nightcap. And I point is I bought the Batman suit because in my head I'm thinking, yo, you win a blind date if you get to the hot tub. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying I need anything to go down in there sexually.
Right.
You know,
but you made it to the hot tub.
I want
to
get to the hot tub.
It's like a board game.
Yes. Yeah. I want to get to the hot tub. I want to pass go, collect my $200,
yeah.
which is actually after probably $30, you know, whatever they're paying you. And I go, I'm going to get to the
Let's
hot tub.
See if they own the rights to the to a board game. There's a certain division.
Blind
for
date?
This. Yeah.
Oh, that's a great
blind
idea.
Blind date board game.
Dude, there's, oh, yeah, or a limited date.
Make it to the jacuzzi.
That's make it to the jacuzzi.
Okay, so you're there.
I buy the Batman suit because I for this joke. So that in my head, such a fucking like actor, yeah. I'm thinking, get through the whole date, and then after we drink, it'll cut to the hot tub, and there'll be a shot of me and her in a wide, sitting there in silence, holding a drink, and then after about 4 seconds, I just go, bathing suit. They said bring a bathing suit.
Oh, and you're in
instead
the...
of Batman's.
Bam.
Isn't that fucking...
I love that, dude.
I was like, get there for that joke.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
And we didn't get there because she fell in a bar. It was actually featured on one of E's top dating moments because she's in these tall ass, she's had legs for days and she's in these heels and we're staying at this bar and she just goes, look at me, I'm a dancer. And she does like a weird spin and her legs do this fucking cartoony Looney Tune fucking like they flew up in the air and she just hits the deck and it's a classic comedic bar hitting person.
What bar was it? Do you remember?
It was somewhere on Fairfax, dude. It was a tiny little dive and it was the middle. It was like 4:45 in the afternoon.
No,
so there's like nobody there. We're filming there. There was maybe one guy in the corner who was just like, you guys doing a TV show? We're like,
oh, yeah.
Can you just keep it down a little bit, man? No one's judging your choices, but we do need
God.
You to keep it on somewhat of a lockdown. She
man.
Falls, and here's why I made it to the top E dating moments, like the top 20, dude.
Because
she falls, boom, and I just go, I stand there. I don't even flinch. I just turn out of the way as she falls, and I go, whoa.
That's it.
Yeah. No, wow. No, here's a hand.
Yeah, right.
At that point, I'm just like, we ain't making it to the hot tub.
Right.
You think
oh
you fucked up.
God.
You fucked this up for me. So then I went back on. I wore a wig. They told me you can't wear the wig. I showed up. I heard the producer go, hey, it's Adam, the wig guy. He's doing it again, is what I heard them say over the walkie-talkie. Because I put on an Antonio Banderas wig, and the limo picked me up, and I was in character the whole time. I was prepping. I went to a wig shop at 8 in the morning on Fairfax, that one next to the Jamba Juice and all that shit, on that corner of La Cienega. It's across from Cedar Sinai. There's a professional wig shop.
Okay.
On like La Cienega, okay. Like 3rd.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's off to the, it's like right before you, if you kept going, you hit Lowry's.
Okay.
And so I went there at 8 a.m. and got fitted, and the limo picked me up, and I was in character, and the guy's like, what's up, man? He's like, you excited? I was like, yeah, man, I'm just trying to find love, you know what I'm saying? Like, I've been hitting the pavement for years looking for the lady of my life, but I just haven't.
Oh, my
And then I get there,
God.
And I'm like, what's up, man? Adam, I'm here for the date. And
so the guy's, listen, you got
to
take the
wig. He goes, what are you doing, man? Yeah. He goes, this is a date. You're trying to find somebody? And I go, look, dude. And I'm like, full acting mode. I go, I'm trying to, if I meet a girl and she likes this guy, then I know she'll like me. He goes, what the fuck does that even mean, dude? He goes, what are you doing? He goes, you can't wear the wig again. He goes, last time we didn't know and we made it work. You got to be you. I go, is it still free drinks? He goes, yes. All right. And then I just got fucked up and the girl didn't drink at all. So then it just became that.
Oh, wow.
And she was a prude, so it ended up being great. But the wig, I mean, what a bummer, dude.
Wow.
I should have refused to take it off and been like, there's no wig. This is me.
Yeah.
What were they going to Anyway. So like if I move, I'm going to think of that. That's going to be one of my top fives.
Okay. You know? There you go.
I don't know how we got on that.
Top five things. What I was trying to get in before I leave
the show
is to.
We're talking about the Hotel Cafe show.
Yeah,
and I showed up.
Well, we recorded the show, so I'm thinking about a just
a
live.
That night?
Yeah, we'll see. I'm about to listen.
Did you get the part in there when the girl after we sang, not easy being green, and she goes, "Joey's better."
No, that was.
You don't like that.
Probably the lowest moment of the whole thing. It's like sometimes, you know.
Yeah, that's okay though.
You know, the IQ takes a big dip, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Of the overall audience, the average IQ. And
yes.
Someone says that and they bring the whole fucking average down.
Because fans are smart enough to recognize that, like, there's
one
bad
clown,
egg.
Yeah. But I want to record at Capitol Record Studios, dude, before I leave, right? Because they have studio. That's where, you know, Frank Sinatra did a lot of his classics.
Yes. What do you
have? They have this reverb room chamber, they call it. This famous chamber in the basement of that building, the famous cylindrical, you know, Capitol Records.
Yes.
And in the basement, there's this room that was like formed and like shaped to give a certain reverb sound. What they did before, you know, back in the day, they'd put a microphone in that and record what usually the vocal would sound like. And that's what Frank Sinatra's reverb was. That was his filter.
Oh my God.
So anyways, I might do that. I don't know. We'll see.
You have to.
Yeah.
What would you record?
Well,
a lot of the standards that you
No, I wouldn't do that. I would do, you know, I mean, we did more current stuff. And then I just thought as like a bonus track, I'd do a new track. I was thinking of that Michael Jackson sang this song way back when he was a kid. It's called Music and Me. And it's it goes a little bit goes. And I'm like, what I, you know, when you love a song and you're like, oh, I'll sing that song. And then you sing it and you're like, doesn't really fit me.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think that with most songs. Yeah.
Except
for Tracy Chapman Fast Car. That's the one that's in my range that I'll do night and day. And if you want me to do it on the album, I'm saying right now, verbal yes.
It's automatic.
Give it to me.
But it's really pretty. And he sings it, yeah, and it's just simple as it. We've been together for such a long time now, music, music and me. It's really, you know how he used to be really sweet back then?
You gotta do
that. So the lyrics are like so sweet, and it's just like, and it's acoustic guitar, but it's kind of it gets bigger, and I wanted to use the band from the Hotel Cafe to kind of help me out with it. So I don't know, maybe I'll get it in.
Joe,
time is a ticking though. So
I know.
We'll see. Hopefully they'll be open.
Oh, you got. I mean, what is that? Is that a? I don't know. The recording is it a half day? Is that?
Yeah,
3 hours?
It sounds about a half day. Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Is money an issue? Because I will go in on renting the studio.
You will?
Fuck.
Listen, you're gonna owe me for the fucking car too, man.
I got you.
Got a great lease. No, let's talk about it. I don't want money. What are you gonna? I just want.
I will help you do whatever.
No, I'm kidding.
I'm
kidding.
Not.
No, it's a great lease though.
I'm not talking about the car. I'm talking about the record.
Oh, the record? No, I'm okay
you
with that.
Gotta do that, and I gotta be there to watch that, dude. Okay. You're also your pipes too. I don't even know. You've probably been asked to describe. Like, have you ever
my pipes?
Like, yeah, like well, no. I'm just thinking
I'm
about that.
I'm a belter. Like the thing I
but that
I get
a Jackson well, baby sound.
Well, that stuff.
You
like
can
like
tap
my
into
my
that.
Voice. I'm not, you know, James Earl Jones. That's for sure.
Well,
you know
that
what
attitude.
I mean?
Yeah.
What I've discovered though, what took me years and years to figure out for mixers and sound guys is that most when you're EQing a guy's voice, a lot of times they'll take out the 1K, which is a frequency. They'll literally just take the fader and put it down to zero because it's not a good frequency in guys mostly. And when people would be mixing me, I'd go, what the fuck happened? Like you record the song, it sounds great, and then you send it to mix and the mixer just does something to your vocal. And you're like, what the fuck is going on? I'm not feeling it, you know? And I know I'm not wrong, but then you don't want to be like the bad guy and this, that, and the other thing. And like, finally, I'm like, what is it? And it's the 1K in my voice that brings it when I'm singing, that brings the character that what I bring to the table, whatever the fuck that is, it's that frequency. So I don't know how that explains anything, but I'm thank God I figured that out, like, you know,
when?
At this point in my career. I mean, sometimes people wouldn't do it and it just was what it was, but when they would do it, I would go, what is wrong? I know there's something, and that's it. It's the 1K. So now I know.
Holy shit.
Yeah, now I know.
And knowing is half the battle. And who
Listen,
said that?
They
the G.I. Joes said that.
They haven't told me to stop yet. They haven't. There's no, not to my face yet. You know what I mean? So I love to sing. I love to perform. And, you know, experience is everything. So.
There's got to be a way too, New York has so many great spots like Hotel Cafe for you to be.
Oh,
like,
yeah. We got to figure that out.
Put up another one.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously you could find other musicians out there, right?
Well, I got to get my boy, Rob Lewis, who's the new kid.
Yes.
He's
love Rob.
So pure, man.
Rob that came to my shows in Gotham.
Oh, that's right.
And
that's
he
right.
came to my Sunday show, man.
Yeah.
And it was like, you know, Sunday's
he's a hot shit. He's got a great sense of humor, so I know he loves comedy.
He
yeah.
was so, dude, I, and look.
He's a good laugher.
There's
he's
something about,
laugher.
It's true too, when the first time you came to one of my shows, it's like, once you
respect and have so much admiration for somebody and what they do. You want them, like, you want to get, once you become friends too, you're like, I want them to see me in my world.
Sure.
Like,
and
doing my shit. And
right,
like,
right.
Because
right,
there
right.
is a level of just like respect that goes up between people.
Yeah.
When
you
go, oh, cool. You, you know, you're not a piece of shit off stage.
Right.
But on stage, like, you're, you know, I can tell you have been putting in the time.
Yeah.
And so Rob, obviously, like, another, you know, musical genius. And so I was like, man, I just want you, like, and he's, you know, we've gotten to be cool, but I'm like, man, I want you to see me in my element a little bit. So they came out by himself, and he wasn't going to make it, but he came last minute, and it was, like, the lightest attended show, but, like, ended up being the best, and, like, he was so cool, and I could see him laughing back there, like, just by himself in the booth, and afterwards, chatted for a minute, and he was just, like, it was so cool, man.
Yeah.
Also, you know, he works with Babyface. And
that's your guy.
That's my guy.
You know,
I'm the white baby face.
You are.
And so I introduced myself.
You are the white baby. I knew there was a white baby face, but I didn't know it was you.
Salutations.
I'm surprised you didn't tell me that already.
I try to stay.
To your point of, you know, you want to see someone in your, you know, element, in which it's kind of might wrap things up here for the LA thing and, like, you know, come full circle. But when I first came out here and I met my wife, she was my real estate broker. And she was just starting on the job because she came out here figuring she was going to do movies and be an agent. She was just like, it's not in my heart. You know what I mean? She just kind of picked wrong, and she knew it in her heart. And it was uncomfortable, as a lot of people feel when they get out of college and they have this plan and it's like, okay, this isn't going to work. So her mom said, get your real estate license. You can be out of the office and figure out things, you know, in the meantime.
Right.
You know what I mean? And then I was her first client. So a year later, we were married. So she got something out of it. She didn't get a career, but she got a husband and a family. But so when we were, but when I first met her, again, to the point of, we hung out. She was nice enough to let me hang out with her friends and that whole thing. But, you know, I wasn't moving fast. And she was like, well, what's the deal? And plus, she was 24. She was having a good time. You know what I mean?
Living life.
So we finally, you know, I finally, you know, made a move, and we had some fun for, you know, a week or two. And then it wasn't really, she didn't really want a boyfriend. Like, she actually gave me the, I want to be friends forever. Like, I really like that. She gave me that one. So I was all right.
Friend-zoned.
Yeah, exactly. So I remember my buddy.
What about the fries? I should have eaten the fries.
I remember my buddy back in Boston when I was calling him on the phone, telling him about the store, and he was like, you know, and saying as if it was me, he was like, yeah, I got enough friends. Yeah, I'm all set. You know what I mean? So finally, we went back and forth, and, like, I didn't want to just see somebody if she was seeing other people. I didn't want, that's not my style. So I was like, listen, I really like you too, but I can't do this, like, in and out thing. Like, it's kind of all or nothing at all. And she was like, she was bummed, and she was like, okay, but she wasn't, like, you know, heartbroken, but she was like, oh, all right. Well, can I still, you know, come to your show? And I had a show that week, and she had never seen me perform.
Game.
The rest is history.
Set.
Match. It was, you know, which for
God.
My wife, you want to, you know, it's like, wait a minute, did she love you for you? It's like,
hilarious.
Well, you know, that whole thing, it's like, me on stage is like, you know, unfortunately, I'm my best self. It's like, my buddies came to the shows recently and were like, you're your best self, which is scary because I'm not on stage a lot, and that's the challenge, right? You know what I mean? But my wife saw me, and the rest is history. But to, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
To your point, you know what I mean? Like, you want people to see you do what you do best. Whether I was a mechanic and I was fixing a car, you could see that in a movie too. Like, a girl sees a guy, like, working on a car, and, like, oh, that's cool. Like, he's not just some kid who's, you know, following me around who, you know, wants to go on a date.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, so whatever that is you do, but I can relate. There's nothing like, you know, having people you admire or like, or, you know, And them seeing you do what you do best, and that's kind of what happened. So that kept me in LA for 16 years.
Where was the show? And what was the, did she say afterwards, the show, what the song was? Or?
The show was at what do they call it now? It used to be the Billboard Club on Sunset. It was Billboard. It was jeez, I forget the club, but it was close to like the Roxy, like a little bit down.
Not the Viper Room. No.
No, no, no.
Roxy, the Viper.
Yeah, it was Soho a little House. Further no. down. I forget the okay. the place. So it's a kind of a bigger play, bit, one of the bigger open venues. And
Palladium? No.
I think it was called Billboard Live for a while, but cool. I think they changed it. But yeah, it was a great show. Can Me and my buddy E-Man, who we came out together and he's the guy who came up and did acoustic with me.
Oh, dope.
Yeah. So, and that's what we did back in the day. It was just an acoustic show. We had a blast, and I was out here, doing.
Do you have any of those songs anywhere, like pre New Kids? Like, have you ever?
What do you mean?
Well,
this was after New Kids broke up, right. But then we were doing my own thing. But
I'm saying, do you have songs before New Kids that you?
Well, that I recorded?
Yeah, or that you wrote.
No, I was 12. I was 12 when I joined New Kids.
But hey, man, I was fucking...
A, B, C, D, E,
I was doing your mama jokes at 10, you know what I'm saying?
There you go. No, I mean, my stuff came... I never fancied myself a songwriter until, after the group broke up, and I just said, this is kind of... Yeah. I like doing this, but yeah.
Maybe you'll do that in New York, right? Maybe just that move will, inspire...
Right?
Right?
I always want to write. I always got something going on.
You definitely
will.
But I think that's, and look, it's the same thing with comedy and why I feel so fortunate to, and I feel like, you've got that comedy bone in you, so you're probably the same, but also more so with music, where when you have something, I'll say for comedy first, like being like any sort of tragic or just down moment or whatever, I can find a way to get out of it quicker than normal because of
The
comedy mindset, or be like, there's a bit in here obviously I'll still get frustrated about something or if, again, somebody hits your car or whatever.
Right, I'm also
looking for how do I diminish the stress by finding something around me that, when I almost got killed in a car, that was terrifying.
I
was slowing down at a light on La Brea. Near where we shot the show, where the crew parking was on that street on La Brea. Mm. And I look up in my rearview mirror and there was a car just like, I saw a person on their phone flying into me. I'm stopped. And they're just, it's a giant car just about to ram in the back of me. So I saw it coming. And I was just like, oh no. And I just grabbed the wheel and was like, hope I don't die. And then boom. And I get out and I'm feeling myself around. And then there's a homeless dude across the street at a bus stop. And I can't hear anything. It's just like silent. I'm just like, whatever.
I know.
But yet through all that, I heard, man, you got fucked up.
Oh,
and I started laughing, dude.
God.
It was like such a guttural laugh of like, but also nervous, but also like, am I dead?
Right, yeah.
And this is like my homeless guardian angel. Like, so many thoughts. I'm just like, well, I did get fucked up. I was just like, what the fuck?
Wow.
But then I'm looking for this homeless guy. And then I look over and he's not there. No, I'm joking.
Yeah.
But you know what I'm saying? So with music, it's like taking advantage of and not even taking advantage, just probably letting it happen. But
so you're
something...
saying moving to New York is like a car crash, a near-death car crash. That's
I'm trying
what
to say
you're
a,
really,
a big
that's
thing.
How you really feel about my move.
I'm trying to say finding the
now you mix it
inspiration
up.
In something like
of course,
this. You know?
Of course.
There's going to be so many new factors and variables that will probably...
Absolutely.
You know.
Many muses to be...
And again, if you need someone on singing backup, I just sang two songs for this DreamWorks show that's coming out in August called She-Ra that I'm the talking horse on. I'm her sidekick.
Amazing.
The kids are going to love it, by the way.
I love it.
It's my character tested the best with kids.
Wow.
So get ready to fucking call me up and be like, hey, Swiftwind, will you do some lines for me? I'm the funny sidekick talking horse.
You went
for
from
She-Ra.
Quick Fat to Swiftwind. That's... Wow, dude, you've come a long way. You have come a long way. Congratulations. Wow.
Thanks, man.
Wow.
Well, I appreciate you coming by.
Thanks for having me, man.
And, LA's going to miss you, but whatever. You'll be
right.
back.
You'll be
it's
fine.
It's also...
I probably won't.
But maybe you won't.
Yeah.
You probably won't.
I'm not looking to come back.
If you're going
to
go west, you're probably going to... Which, by the way, great band.
Go west.
The King of Wishful Thinking.
Oh, really? Oh, I didn't know that.
I'll get over you.
Yeah.
I know I will, because I'm the king of wishful.
Is that Swiftwind? Thing. Is that his voice?
No.
You can't do it. Don't do
not
it.
Not as good as that.
Wait. Don't do it because you'll get
NDA?
Sued or something. They're top secret
they
about
are,
that stuff.
They are, dude. They are.
Yeah, so don't.
They were like, you can say your character name.
Yeah, but don't do anything else.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
But
I'll see you. We'll be around. We'll see you in
New
York.
4th of July, hopefully, right?
Yeah.
So I have a gig we'll now on the 5th through the 8th.
Good.
But because I can fly out the 5th and just come a few days before then and be there for the 4th.
I was going to give you the 2nd and the 3rd, and then you had to be out on the 4th.
Dude.
Okay. Done.
High five.
Okay.
Great. I was worried it wasn't going to work. I'm like, I got to take this weekend. It's, and you know.
Yeah.
And I was like, fuck, I'm dreading this like
where is
message. Because I was the one being like, we're coming.
Oh, you're going to brad me? And that's all we have about last night, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for coming and thanks for leaving.
Dude, he deserves that. Brad, I love you, but you did bail on the cruise. Yeah. Which I'm coming on. This 10th one. Is that cool?
Maybe.
Hilarious.
And I'm serious.
Fine. Guess what? There's a lot of other things I'd like to do in my October.
No, I'm kidding. Yeah. I got to figure it out. It's
Joe,
like I got.
Joe,
I
by
got,
the way, I'm so
hey,
easy.
Hey, easy peasy.
If I come, I come. Whatever. The addition. Do you know how many people at my shows are New Kids fans now that immediately go, "You cruising with us?" Yeah. It's like there's a certain time. It's almost like the way
they
that
love you and you're just amazing. And now I'm going to hear about it. Like, what are you crazy not having Adam on? So,
maybe, but yeah. there's it's almost like Jews with like Rosh Hashanah, like a month out. They're like, "What are you doing for the high holidays?" You
right?
Know?
Yeah.
So like, so there's a time with like stores when they put up the Christmas decorations right after Thanksgiving. There's a time that hits where the cruise questions. And the cruise mentality.
Yeah, it's there.
It's
a switch.
And we're there, dude.
Yeah.
Because we've hit summer.
Yeah.
And what happens after summer?
You're coming
dude?
Now. You're coming.
Fall.
You're in. Of course I'm coming.
But the questions
coming,
are just
you're
like,
there.
You cruising? And I'm just like, I don't know. It's up to Joe, you know? Yeah. And we got to work out the schedules. But like you have to. Some of them have been 10
we're
times. Isn't that crazy? Some of them are they're going to be going 10 times. I mean, you've been 10 times. So it's like, you know.
I have a whole idea, a bit about the thing. I'll tell you. It's
okay,
top secret.
Yeah, yeah, I love it. Right. So people, thanks, I mean, New Kid tour dates might be posted.
No, there's no
for
New
a while.
Kid tour. No, huh? No, not even for a while. I don't know.
The
I don't
cruise
know
is
anything.
Next. Yeah.
It's a cruise. That's all we know.
All right. So if you're looking for Joe Mack content.
I'm not saying there's a cruise.
There's not even a cruise yet.
I mean,
yet.
There's a cruise, but there's no
look,
tour.
The
I didn't say there's a tour.
The only thing we know is that Joe is moving to New York.
That's right.
And that there might be.
And there's a
be...
cruise in October. That's it.
Perfect. And that the Move podcast is staying active.
Yeah. We took a little hiatus.
You had to.
We'll be back.
You had life.
Well, we are back. Maybe this will be the next one.
We'll
double. What do you call that?
A crossover?
Crossover. Ooh. Yeah.
I know the lingo, man. You're talking to Quick Fat. Nice.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, buddy.
I love you. Thanks, Joe.
Bye.
So, that's the show.
Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast? Give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also, get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or aboutlastnightpodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessamay Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night. That's it, right? You got it? Sweet. Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.